While you're turning to the second chapter of Revelation tonight, I placed out in the foyer a little brochure. You've heard me mention a time or two that every year, for many years now, my wife and I, well, she doesn't go on every one of them, but we've taken 10 trips to Israel and the Holy Land and that part of the world. And you know what? I'd love for some folks from First Assembly might want to go there. I put some brochures out in the foyer. You're welcome to pick one up, keep it for yourself. You don't have to bring it back unless you decide to go, and then there's a little part to tear off and give to us. But you got any questions about it, see us during the course of our time here, and we'd be glad to talk to you about it. Can't hear me? Can y'all hear me now? I get my cell phone out. Can you hear me now? That better? Okay. Well, if you didn't hear what I just said, that's even better for me. Thank you, James. Appreciate that help. By the way, y'all didn't know it. My son-in-law is named James Barrett. Now, it's a different James Barrett because he doesn't have a wife named Candace. But that's quite unique, isn't it? But if you'd like to pick one of these up, they're out in the foyer, and then you can ask us questions later. As I shared with you 2 weeks ago, on our first Wednesday night with you, I felt like on Wednesday nights, what I wanted to do, and I felt like it was a directive of the Lord, to explore a letter written to seven troubled churches. Churches that were going through extremely difficult times. And that letter written to them is what we have in our Bible called the Book of Revelation. And many times we study the Book of Revelation and we study it from a prophetic point of view, and there's nothing wrong with that. But my intent is not to study it from a eschatological, prophetic bend from any direction, but rather look at what God was saying and what those literal seven churches in what today is Turkey, southwestern part of Turkey, what they may have heard God saying to them in the difficulties they were going through and that they were about to face. And I think there may be some things here for us we can make applicable to Farmington or any church for that matter. So let me read first the second chapter. I'll read in its entirety, and then we'll share a message tonight. I simply entitled tonight's message, God Knows His Church. God knows you. Whether you know it or not, God knows His church. And that's what this chapter is all about. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you've tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to live again. I know your affliction and your poverty, yet you're rich. I know the slander of those who say that you are Jews and are not, or say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. To the angel of the church at Pergamum, write, these are the words of him who has the sharp, double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witnesses, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. You ever feel like Satan lived in your town? They did. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols, by committing sexual immorality. Likewise, you have also those who hold the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore. Otherwise, I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. To the angel of the church at Thyatira, write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished brass or bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she's unwilling. So I will cast her into a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely, unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira that you who do not hold her teachings and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. To him who overcomes and does my will in the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. He who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We're going to pray over the word, and as we do, I'm reminded to share with you that we have set Saturday nights at 6:00. And we talked to the board Tuesday night. I felt inclined to Saturday night. They agreed with me. Those of you that were here in prayer meeting last Sunday night, wow, did we have a time. Amen. It was one of the most, I felt like it was back in the 1970s in a Pentecostal prayer meeting. Every Saturday night at 6, you can come, stay as long as you want to. we're going to pray for God's anointing on this church. Amen. We're going to pray for repentance. We're going to pray for confession. We're going to pray for openness from God's throne and out of our hearts. And we'll meet in the prayer room. If that one gets too small, I've already found a bigger one. Amen. And we'll move there. I may move there just by faith anyway. But if that doesn't hold them, we'll come in here. But we'll set the stage and believe God for great things come Sunday morning. Amen?
Amen.
And a revival to touch this church in the most powerful way. Father, we thank you tonight for the word. We pray that you will anoint it now. Give us, Lord, the ears to hear and the mouth to speak that would be your deliverance. I pray, Lord, the things we share tonight will not be our own thinking or understanding, but, Lord, they will be straight from the throne of God. And we will hear, Lord, what you're saying to us in Jesus' name. Amen. God doesn't beat around the bush when he wants to talk to his church. He didn't play games. I found that out a long time ago. And whereas in chapter number 1, we talked a couple of weeks ago, God revealed his choice of a man for the mission and the fact that he was the messenger into the church, he's also going to speak now in chapter number 2. And in it, God lets the church know that he really knows where we are.
Yes,
he does. Hello? And God knows what our needs are. I don't know if that says to you what it's saying to me, but I'm glad.
Praise God.
I'm glad God has the address of First Assembly in Farmington, New Mexico. If he didn't have it, we'd be in serious trouble. He knows where his church is at. And more than that, he knows each person in his church personally. He knows every one of us. God does not deal generically with his church. He knows the towns his churches are in. He knows more about us than we may want to admit he knows about us. He knows every secret of our hearts. He knows everything that's going on in our lives. The Bible even says he knows every idle word, even every thought. Now, God knows about First and Farmington. There's nothing that he does not know. Good, bad, or indifferent. He knows everything. We can't really hide from him. Some churches have carpet and they try to sweep it under the carpet. Thank God this church doesn't have any carpet to sweep it under. When you sweep things under the carpet, you just create lumpy carpet. That's all you do. People trip on it and fall on it. But we're not going to sweep anything under the carpet. We're going to deal with it all. And God knows it all. Amen? When I read this chapter, I realize that the Lord knows about us individually everything that comprises of his individual churches. He knows the exactness about it. And he speaks about people in these verses tonight. I read it to you. That have lost their first love. In another place, he speaks about those who despise the practice of the Nicolaitans, of which God says, I despise it too. And that's a deep study in itself. We're not going to go into that. But trust me, if God don't like anything, we better not like it.
Amen.
Amen. He also gets personal. He even starts calling some of them by name. In this second chapter, I hear the name Antipas, or Antipas. He calls him my faithful witness. He calls another one, that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. In other words, God recognizes some people claim to be spiritual and they're not. Some people claim to be religious and they're not. And besides that, you can get a religious spirit and it not be a righteous spirit.
Amen.
He knows personally both about the faithful and the fraudulent. I read that when I read chapter number 2. It's also interesting to note that each church that he wrote to, and there's 4 in this chapter, 3 in the next one. We'll get to those next Wednesday night. But He knows about each one of these individual churches, and he addresses a letter to the angel or the messenger of that church. And he says to them, write down what I want you to hear. Write it down. I grew up in a day where if preachers wrote their notes down, you considered them backslid. You remember that, Brother Parker, those days? I found out a long time ago when even God said write some things down. And so I got rid of that concept and realized that I can write some things down. It's important to hear what the Lord is saying. It's noted here that God wants to speak to his church, but the one he chooses to deliver the message is the messenger or the pastor of that church. Now, I would assume that when these pastors got those word, that word from the Lord, it did not take them long to begin to share the message with the church itself. I know one thing. If I got a word from God, it wouldn't take me long to deliver it.
Amen.
Amen. Every passage spoken to these seven churches begins with the phrase, these are the words of. Now, John, when he writes this, is careful to let you know he's not the author. He's not the writer. These words are not his. These words are God's. You see, John's the delivery boy. He's the boy that's throwing the paper. He's not even the editor of the paper. He's just the delivery boy. Wow. You know, that's about what every one of us are, or should be. We're not the editor. We're not the author. We don't get to change it. We just get to throw the paper. Amen. Church, tonight, God never spoke to us to hide his word or give it our own thoughts, but to simply tell people what God's saying. That's all I want to do. That's all I can do, is to tell you what I see in God's word that God is saying. Now, there's three or four things in this chapter that are very important. I'm not going to take it church by church. I want to take it thought by thought. The first thing is this. I want you to consider how honored, that God honored and he gave accommodation to every one of these churches. Every one of them were doing some things right. Let me tell you, I preached in a lot of churches in my lifetime. I preached in many foreign countries. I think I preached in 39 to 41 states. Been to all 50 of them, but there were 9 or 10 that I didn't get a chance to preach in, except on an individual basis, I guess. But I found out, I've never found a church that didn't have at least something it was doing right. And when I read this passage here, about every one of them gets commended, given accommodation for things that they're doing right. When you're doing something right, God wants to know you to know that he's happy about it. He's glad. For example, to Ephesus he writes, I know your deeds. I know your hard work. I know your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you've tested those who claim to be apostles and are not, have found them false. You persevered. You've endured hardships. For my name, you've not grown weary. Wow, I want to be in that kind of church.
Hallelujah.
To get that kind of accommodation given to me. What does God appreciate in his church? The answer, I looked through that list, good work, hard work, those who keep on keeping on, those who have tested false prophets and declared them as such, those who have endured difficulties, those who have not grown weary. Church, when he said he knew us, he knew us. He knew those churches. He knew what they were doing right. He knows what we're doing right. Thank God for water. Did you notice that it's drier in New Mexico than it is in Texas? takes more water to keep this windmill going out here than it did back there. I found out he understands the intimacy of our own testimony. To the church at Smyrna, for example, he writes in accommodation, I know your afflictions. I know your poverty. And then he says something really strange. And I know you're rich. Huh. You know, sometimes God sees in us what we don't see in ourselves. How many of you knew that? God sees things in us that we don't see in ourselves. We see and we feel the pain and the poverty, and God looks down and sees our richness. Wow. Would to God that we could see as God sees.
Amen.
Wow. We got money needs, and God sees we're rich. I like that. Amen. The church at Pergamos, he writes, I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city, where Satan lives. Church, God knows your address. If you've remained true to him, he knows that too.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if you live even where Satan lives. Some of these folks did. God can be there too. He can have a church even in the town where Satan calls it his hometown. Every once in a while I hear somebody say, this place is so wicked they could never have a church. No, here's a church in the town that Satan called home. Can't beat that. The message to his church is truly almost too good to be true. God knows his church, but he also knows about his church. And he remembers your past history of faithfulness. God keeps a record. Amen?
Yes, he does.
Then to the church at Thyatira, he commends them as well. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service, perseverance, that you're now doing more than you did at first. Wow. You say, what more can I say? Looking at this church. Here again, God knows that we're going, that we're doing what we're doing, how we're loving, how much faith we have, how much we've been of service to him, how much we've persevered in difficult times. But more than that, he says, I know you're improving. In spite of all this, you're doing more now than you did last year. And when you began, you're doing more now. Wow. You're doing more than you did at first. I love a church like that. I think it's significant that God always wants us first to know what we are doing right.
Amen.
Know what we're doing right. He's not just carrying a big stick around waiting to knock us on the head because we did something wrong. I found a long time ago, it's not my job to be the corrector of the saints. You know, whatever you're doing, even if you decide to bring in a chicken fried steak and eat it in the pew, I'm not going to correct you. You just share it. Amen. But no. What am I saying? I just preach the word.
Amen.
God gives you the desire to go to the things and develop your growth and power and grace in him. I think it's significant here that God always wants us first to know what we're doing right. He's not just carrying that stick wanting to hit us in the head. Church, we need to get it right. When we get it right, keep doing it right. Amen? One more thought before I move to the second main thought of this message. He chose to reveal himself with his attributes in chapter number 1. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. He talks about he's the one that holds the 7 stars in his hand. He walks among the churches. He's the one that's the first and the last. He has a sharp 2-edged sword. And the one whose eyes are like a blazing fire and like burnished feet of bronze. God wants the church to always know that it is Him who is speaking to them.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
It's Him that's speaking. Now, the second thing to consider as we look at these churches getting this letter from God in difficult times, we need to consider how God condemns His church. He first commends them, now He condemns them. You say, wow, I really don't want a whipping. Hello? Well, sometimes it's good to be corrected. Especially if God is the one doing the correcting. You see, if we are a church that's gotten it wrong, I want God to tell us we got it wrong. Don't you? Let me try that again. Don't you?
Amen.
If we've fallen in the ditch, I want Him to tell me to get out of the ditch. Amen? If we've made mistakes, I don't want to keep making them. I want to turn around. I want to go the right way. One of these churches had forgotten its first love. You say, how can it be that a church forgets its first love? That's got to be the first question. Have we forgotten our first love? But if that's happened, then what can we do? The first thing we've got to do is remember. Remember from where we've fallen. Hello? And then repent. Oh, I love that word. Probably one of these Sundays while I'm here, I'm going to talk to you about that word repent, because that's the whole key of Jesus' message.
Amen.
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is within your grasp. It is at hand. All you got to do is reach out and take care of it. Take a hold of it. Well, I want to get a hold of the kingdom, but the first word of the sentence is repent. Amen? Oh, we did that last Sunday night in a very powerful way.
Amen.
18 of us opened our heart to God, and God opened His heart to us. But if we do not repent, then He says, I will remove our church from its proper place. So the three R's are remember, repent, so we don't have to be removed. Those three R's, we don't want to forget those, to be honest with you. I think it's interesting that one church, the church at Smyrna, did not get condemned at all. You say, I want to be a member of the church at Smyrna. She's the poor little rich church. She didn't have much in finances. She didn't have many wealthy people. What does that say to us who minister to those who have little or nothing? I think I know. That is that there is something more to religion than pomp and circumstance and money.
Amen.
Hello? I need to say it again. There is something more to religion than pomp and circumstances and money. It's called people. It's called lives. And God loves every one of us. Again, the prescription here for a cure is repent. Another one of these churches entertained and allowed false doctrine and prophets. Again, the word is repent. Church tonight, we better get used to that word. It was Jesus' number one word in His message. It was the number one word He gave to His disciples to go preach.
Amen.
It was the number one word that the church received on the day of Pentecost. Repent and believe. Wow. Jesus said we had to do it. There's another one of these churches that He condemned them. They had a false prophetess. Never ceased to amaze me how gullible people are when someone comes along and says, I've got a word from the Lord for you. You know, when that happens, I have little antennas, not this thing. I have little antennas that go, whoop. If God's got a word for me, He can tell me.
Amen.
Amen. I understand sometimes there is a prophetic word. Don't get me wrong. But this lady, apparently, in this scripture here, she had a red flag. And she proclaimed to be a prophetess and was nothing of the kind. That person who always has a word from the Lord for you, or me, or anybody else for that matter, is that person trying to manipulate you for their own intent and purpose? Are they trying to lead you closer to Jesus, or are they trying to deceive you to believe what they believe? There's an interesting thing. You might want to write this down. A deceived person does not know they're deceived. A deceived person doesn't know they're deceived. I preached a whole series of sermons on that one time. But if they know they're deceived, then they're not deceived anymore. Think about it. Thyatira is told they better repent. But an encouraging word is also given to those who have not fallen to this prophetess. Let me read it again to you, right out of the word. To you who do not hold her teachings and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, be careful of those who have deep spiritual, previously unknown secrets. Hold only on to what you have until I come.
Amen.
Somebody comes along and decides to try to give you a new revelation out of here that nobody else has ever seen. You might want to be careful. Hello? This word's tried and proven and proven and true. Amen? Now, the third main thing I see in this second chapter is God tells us that He knows His church is this, that we are to consider the words of instruction after He convinces us that He knows our secret sins. He declares that we are to listen and to hear. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Now the message is to one group, to him that overcomes. Amen? That's my kind of crowd. I want to be a part of the crowd that overcomes.
Amen. Yes.
I believe that's one reason God's put me for a brief season of my life in Farmington, New Mexico, that we can become and we are and we shall be even greater week by week the people that overcome.
Praise God.
Amen. Overcome. I want to be an overcomer. I don't want to just be a part of overcomers. I want to be an overcomer.
Yes.
And church, tonight, it's at this point that we need to see that the message were for those seven churches themselves, but it was also for His church always. When it reads what the Spirit says to the churches, there's no ending.
Amen.
Wherever God's got a church, He's wanting you to be a listener and an overcomer. Amen. Now listen to the reward to those that really obey God and know and that He knows is His church. I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. It don't get any better than eating.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hello? My first Sunday here, we had a pot luck lunch, and we filled the pot. Amen. I thought you were Texans, to be honest with you. When I saw that spread of food, I thought I was back in Glad Tidings. That was where the little widow lived that had the cruise of oil that never ran dry. Wow. We Pentecostals know how to feast. We know how to eat. And in paradise, in God's habitation, They ate of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Amen. Who? The overcomer. Him that overcomes gets to eat. It's amazing. Three times a day. My wife says, is it time to eat? You know, I'd just as soon she say it five times a day. I always like to eat. Amen. I have too much, to be honest with you. Then he says, will not hurt at all by the second death.
Praise God.
Do you hear that? Hell itself cannot even touch you when you're an overcomer.
Glory.
He's talking to his church that's in trouble. He's talking to churches that are facing tribulation. He's talking to churches that are facing great trial. And he's saying to us, you're going to eat. You're going to be in paradise. Hell itself can't touch you. That's powerful. And then he says, I will give you some hidden manna. I like dessert. Somebody said they ate dessert first because they couldn't put off the blessing. Whatever. The hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it.
Glory.
You talk about food, you talk about spiritual nourishment known only to God, a stone of treasure inscribed only by God with a name on it that you can have the meaning to. Indiana Jones, move over. Hello. This is the treasure that's worth dying for. I may not understand everything that say, and I could go into long descriptions of what this might have meant, but the overriding factor is you sat on those church pews of those four churches I've given you tonight. They got it. They heard to be an overcomer was going to be worth everything they were going through. And they were going to be the winners in the end. Amen. Then he says it this way. I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dice them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. Now let me ask you something. If you were in one of these seven churches, four of them I've given to you tonight, you were in a rural area of southwestern Asia Minor, where Turkey is today. You were a little bitty church of a few people, maybe a few hundred. I don't know the numbers. Jerusalem was 1,000 miles that way. The Roman army was to the west. The emperor hated you. You're in this little bitty church being told that there's a day coming that your little church is going to rule the nations.
Praise God.
Hello? They said, we can't do that ourselves. But let me tell you, the whole church, the church of Jesus Christ, the church of the ages, is an overcoming church, and the authority will be ordained by the Father. You'll be given a beacon of light in the night sky, a light shining into darkness. He knows his church.
Praise God.
And it's going to shine, and you, the church, have an ear to hear and listen. And he's talking to those that he knows best, his church.
Glory.
That's us. That's Farmington. That's New Mexico.
Hallelujah.
Hello. As hot as it is, you may feel like you're in purgatory, but it's God's church.
Glory.
Amen? And you're going to be an overcomer as you walk in faith, believing, and obeying. Amen. Aren't you glad he knows his church? Let's stand and thank him for knowing us. Would you?
Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you tonight for knowing us. God, we thank you tonight for coming and speaking to us and talking to us and telling us, Lord, who you are. Thank you, Lord, tonight for knowing not only your church, but knowing all of us individually in your church. Lord, I pray that out of this, we will understand that you care about churches that are in trouble, that are having difficulties, that don't know where to go. You wrote a letter to them. Lord, tonight, it's your letter to us. You know us. We're going to be overcomers by your name and by your glory. Thank you, Father. Bless this people tonight. Bless the multiplied numbers that will be here this Lord's day. Give us a mighty harvest of souls. Give us individuals, Lord, that will commit and repent and come to this altar. And Lord, will open their hearts and cry out to the Lord to forgive them. Not only of our sin, but of our pride and everything else, Lord, that may have overcome us and caused us to be weak. Lord, that we may be in your presence. Have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Come and do a work in me and do a work in all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Love one another. Shake hands. Be blessed. See you Saturday night. If you can be here Sunday morning, whether you can be here or not. Amen. God bless.